Welcome to the Woodridge Baptist Church Podcast. For more information about what's happening in the life of our church, visit our website at www.woodridge.org. Enjoy the podcast.
All right, well, it's good to see you. We are continuing our series on taking back the wheel, and we've been looking at those things that we would, you know, when you look into your life and you say, well, what is it that is driving me to make the decisions that I'm making? Sometimes it's not the things that you think. There might be an underlying fear or an underlying motivation that is, so to speak, taking control over you, and as it takes control over you, it takes control over your car, right? And the analogy that I've been trying to drive in this series is this, is that if it takes over you and you're the one behind the wheel, then everybody else that's in the car with you is on that ride with you. Does that make sense? Every single other person that is in the car with you is on that journey with you. So they may be on the journey of fear, worry, anxiety, or whatever the case may be. Now, what Jesus has been trying to say throughout this series is that there is a better way to go. Instead of pursuing fear, maybe pursue something else, right? Because the way that we devote our time, our energy, that's what it is that, at least what Jesus is trying to say, that is, he's trying to show you a different way to go. Now, what that means is you have to stop the direction that you're in, turn, and go another way. And so I want to look at another thing that typically drives people, and it's envy. Envy. Now, think about this. D.L. Moody, he was a famous pastor from years ago, and he gave this story that years ago, when I heard it, it really arrested my attention. He once told a fable of an eagle that was envious of another that could fly better than he could. And so one day the bird saw a sportsman with a bow and an arrow. And so he said to him, well, I wish you would bring down that eagle up there. Well, the man said that he would if he had some feathers for his arrow. So the jealous eagle pulled out one of his feathers and he gave it to the person. And the arrow was shot, but it didn't quite reach the rival bird because the rival bird was just flying too high. So the first eagle pulled out another feather, and then it pulled out another feather until it had lost so many feathers that it can no longer fly. Now the archer then took advantage of the situation, turned it around, and killed the helpless bird. Now this was the example that Moody was trying to give as he was speaking to the crowd that day. He made this application. He said, if you are envious of other people, the one you will hurt the most by your actions will be yourself. Isn't that true? Now, Jesus has told us, you know, he says, I want you to pump the brakes and I want you to take a look at something. Specifically in Matthew chapter 15, if you look at Matthew 15, verses 17 through 19, and then we're going to go over into Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. But Jesus says something that's pretty interesting in Matthew 15. He says, don't you realize that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? By the way, that's a pretty bold thing to say, right? But then he says, but what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this defiles the person. For from the heart come evil thoughts, like murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimony, and slander. Now that's a hard saying, isn't it? Because here's why. Take a look, like stop for just a second, and I want to take a look at the kinds of things that you've been communicating. I also want you to stop and take a look at the kinds of things that you've been doing. Here's what Jesus is saying. That's the real you. That's the real you. Whatever is flowing out of you is the real you. And that's what makes it hard. What makes it hard is instead of just saying, you know, I would like to believe a lot of things about myself, Jesus is looking at the concrete practices of your life and saying, that's the real you. And that can be pretty indicting when you think about it. He gave a little bit of a list, right? I mean, you can have evil thoughts, you can have murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony. You're just speaking all kinds of false things about other people, whether it's their motives or whatnot, or just flat out slandering them. And what you do when you slander somebody is basically it's the public execution of their character or their witness. And you're complicit in that. And Jesus says you might need to stop and step back and say, who am I really? And that's what we've been trying to do in the series that we've been looking at. Our thoughts are where these behaviors come from. Our words and our deeds really tell us what's in us. Notice what Jesus doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, now to overcome this, I just want you to monitor your behaviors. Instead, you know, I just want you to modify your behavior. Instead, he said the root of the problem is the heart. And until the heart changes, the behaviors, at least in any long-term sense, are never going to change. It's not going to happen. You might have this season where you monitor and you go, man, I did not look like the way that I behaved there. And so you step back and maybe for a couple of weeks, you're like looking pretty good. But then guess what? If the heart hasn't been changed, then the same behavior is going to come out because it's what's the root in your heart. That's what Jesus is saying. What's going on inside will eventually spill out. You said it, you did it, because that's what is actually in you. One of the things that I know is in us is envy. It is envy. I got some permission to share this one with you, but I had a former student reach out to me not quite 2 weeks ago. And he was reaching out to me basically to say that he had decided to leave ministry. Now, the decision was already made. And I'll admit, the concern that I had was that there was some sort of immorality, sexual immorality or something like that, that was in his life. And that just wasn't the case. And so we called each other and I said, well, you know, what's going on? I mean, why is it that you're stepping out? And his response was really interesting. And he said, because honestly, I just can't keep up. I can't keep up with all of the split desires of what it is that people want to see in a church. I can't keep up with the church that's about five blocks down the road. And a lot of the ways that people are measuring success, we're not measuring up to them. And so what he ultimately said was, I'm trying to get the church to a place where we focus on the things that Jesus says, I want you to focus on. He said, and I've just gotten to the point where I'm just exhausted and I'm not going to do it anymore. And I said, well, listen, let me encourage you to, you know, wade the storm and lead your church through, right? And he said, well, but the decision's already made. I've already taken another job. And he was out. And I said, okay, so, you know, if you haven't already like started the other job, then let me encourage you to maybe rethink it and stick with where you're at. I was giving it a shot, right? But at the end of the day, he said this. He said, what it is, he said, as I kind of diagnosed the situation of my church. And again, this isn't every church. This is just his. He says, I diagnosed the situation of my church. I can never keep up with those greater desires that they always want when what I can't get them to is what Jesus wants for them. And so I'm done. Envy has taken them over and I'm out. Now, I got to tell you, that one crushed me. Because this is a former student that is a good guy. He loves Jesus. He's trying to do great things. And it just got to the point where he says, I'm going to do it a different way. And so he left. I don't want that for the church, do you? I don't. I don't want that for the church. I don't want that for pastors in the church. I don't want that for anybody in the church. Envy can take over in groups when you think about it. So what is envy? I mean, if this is something that's in us, then what is it? Generally speaking, envy is a feeling of discontentment or resentful longing that's aroused by someone else's possessions or qualities or even their good fortune. That's what it is. Now, it can be closely connected to jealousy, even though Scripture sometimes has them connected, and sometimes it pulls them apart. The difference between envy and jealousy is really fine. Envy always has an outward focus. We desire some item, a person, an attribute possessed by somebody else, and we are discontent or we're even resentful because they have it. Jealousy is not necessarily the same. Jealousy is often found in a more restricted context of the protection of your own items, the stuff you already got, or relationships, especially romantic ones, by the way. If you look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 34, Jealousy, by the way, isn't always bad. There's a healthy kind of jealousy. There's an unhealthy kind of jealousy. There is no healthy envy. It doesn't exist. No positive side to envy. It will make you a discontented spouse. It will make you a poor friend. Because we seethe at others when they succeed. All right, now stop for a second. Have you ever had that moment where someone has succeeded in something that they're doing, and on the inside, you just went, Have you ever been there before? It just got all over you when you saw their success. We've usually had an experience like that. Or how about this? You don't have to raise your hands, by the way. Even if you're just at home, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you have had somebody that says, you know what, I'm going to start getting fit. I'm going to start working out, right? Because my body's a temple. And so they start going to Gold's and they start working out. And you see these tremendous results. Next thing you know, they walk out, you know, 6 months later, they've got a six pack. They're ripped like an Adonis. You've been working at it for 2 years and you're like, what in the world? Ever felt like that before? You get the idea. You determine where you are. You determine where you are by where everybody else is. And that's the seeds of it. And this is the problem with comparison. In comparison, there is no win. Nobody wins. We are very selective also in how we compare and who we compare with. So remember, envy is always an unhealthy focus on somebody else. Solomon, my man, my favorite person in the Bible, aside from Jesus, right? Solomon knew this, and he made a statement about it in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. What did he say? He said, a heart at peace gives life to the body. Here's the thing, but envy rots the bones. Envy will rot the bones. Now, this is where I want you to look over in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 with me, all right? Because there's more to be said about it. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4, it reads like this. It says, I saw that all labor and all skillful work is due to one person's jealousy. Somebody even translate that envy of another. This too, he says, is meaningless, and it's a pursuit of the wind. Now think about the analogy that was just given here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It's not saying that envy doesn't drive you, because it does. It doesn't say that envy doesn't make you wake up and make decisions and pursue things, because it does. It says the result of this is a chasing after the wind. And isn't that an incredibly powerful example to give? Because when you pursue after the wind, this is the problem of the wind. You never get it. You never catch it. And so it's always more work, more labor, more discontentment. That's what the chasing of the wind is like. So whenever your motivation is someone else's possessions or position or status, have you ever noticed this? You cannot celebrate what you do have. You can't. Because what you do have, you're discontent with because you want what somebody else already has. It's never about the bird and the hand. It's always about the two in the bush, as the figure of speech goes. Which leads, by the way, to a loss of time well spent. Here's what I believe. I believe, based on Ephesians chapter 4, that every single person that is in this room and every single person that is in this world has been created by God, has been endowed with incredible gifts by God to do great things for God. That's what I believe. I also believe that the people that are sitting in this room, as well as every single person that is around this world, has different gifts to use to magnify God with the gifts that God has given them. Now, I'll be honest, there have been times that I've looked at another person's gifts and thought, now why in the world don't I have those? You know, I mean, Emmett Smith was much better fit to be the running back of the Dallas Cowboys than I would ever be in my life. I mean, could you imagine one of those linebackers hitting me? It just wouldn't go well, right? I'm not built for it. I mean, one hit and it's like a crunch. But have you ever had that moment where you look at those guys, you go, man, why didn't I get those gifts? I mean, those are the ones that those are the ones I want. You can understand the point now that I'm trying to make. When you're so focused on the other things that people have, you're not focused on the things that you do have. And it leads us to misappropriating the precious time that God has given us to accomplish something pretty amazing right here and right now. Envy doesn't just lead us to a place where we're discontent. Envy ultimately leads us to a place that is meaningless, Ecclesiastes says. And here's why. It's because we spend extraordinary time and measures trying to be somebody that we're not. You're trying to live somebody else's calling that God has put on their life instead of the one that God has put on yours. That is why it's meaningless. You'll never be satisfied because you weren't created by God to accomplish those things. They were. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6, notice what it says. It says, better one handful of tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. Better one handful of what? Tranquility or peace Better one handful of peace than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. So you will be truly satisfied when you are pursuing what God has created you to pursue. What are your gifts? How has he created you? Go for it. Go for it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says something really interesting. It says, "And again, I saw something meaningless under the sun." Now, this under the sun is basically a figure of speech of saying, these are things that are just kind of going on in the world around you. There are two types of wisdom that are talked about in Ecclesiastes, and they're contrasted. One wisdom is wisdom that is from above. Then there's another wisdom that's usually described as a wisdom that is under the sun. This is an earthly wisdom. This is not a godly wisdom. And so you see, again, I saw something meaningless under where? Under the sun. And there was a man all alone. He neither had son nor brother, which, by the way, means he doesn't have an heir. He doesn't have anyone to pass his stuff down to. And there was no end to his toil, and yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. Never content. And notice what it says. He gets to a place where he asks a question. For whom am I toiling? I mean, who am I doing this for? And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This is meaningless. And he concludes it with this. This is a miserable business. I mean, this is a miserable business. Does this give you a picture of a guy? No, notice he's got some cash, right? It's not like he's not walking around with cash. He's just discontent. He has no peace. So two observations for you. You need to ask the same questions that Ecclesiastes was asking right here. So when the teacher of Ecclesiastes is saying, who am I doing this for? You need to be asking for the things that you're choosing to do with your time, who am I really doing this for? Okay, guys, I want to talk to you for just a second, okay? When you wake up at 5 in the morning and you leave at 5:30 in the morning and you come back at 8:30 at night and you realize after a lot of years of that, you've never actually had any time with your children, virtually none, we have to ask this question, who am I doing this for? Now, I don't mean to say that you don't need to get up and go to work, because Scripture has a lot to say about that as well, right? I'm trying to say something different. Who am I really doing this for? I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that, you know, when I get up, and there are plenty of times I get up early and I'm gone well before my girls are up and they're out of bed, and that's okay. Because there are things that I'm trying to do and people that I'm trying to help, and that's okay. But if it comes at the expense of my family, who am I really doing this for? Do you see it yet? Who are you doing this for? Why are you working so hard? I can tell you this, at the end of the day, when I walk in the house every single day, those girls come running to me. They come running. And that's when you stop and you have some fun. That's when you put the grungy clothes on and you go to play, right? Who are you doing this for? Here's another way that we could look at it. When we get caught up in the rat race of thinking that your wardrobe has to match somebody else's or even be better, who are you really doing that for? You get it yet? These are the questions that Ecclesiastes is asking. These are the questions that we have to answer, because the end result of it, if envy is really what is driving the car, the result is you're going to rot from the inside out, and you will never come to a place where you have peace or contentment. Even if you gain what you're pursuing, it comes at the expense of peace. And notice the result. The guy says here, I got the cash and I got nothing else. And this is a miserable business. So if envy is that much of a problem, I'm going to give you a few things to think about today on how you overcome it. If envy is really, so to speak, if envy is really what is driving your car, I want to give you a couple of things to think about today that will help you get to the other side of it. Are you ready? Because here's the first. Even though Proverbs 14:30 says envy rots the bones, did you notice the first half of it? It says a heart at peace does what? It gives life to your body. So how do I become a person that is at peace? Here's the first. One, avoid comparison. Avoid comparison. Now, that being said, there are still some ways that I like to compare myself to others, and specifically, I like to compare myself to Jesus. And when I do that, I get a really good view of who I am, right? I also get a really good view of who I'm not. I'm not him, right? And there's still these parts of me that kind of have to be rooted out, because I'm just like you. I'm a human being. There are parts that got to go. But a heart at peace gives life to the body, but I need to get to a place where I avoid comparison, especially with other people. Consider the words of Jesus. If you look over in John chapter 21, and specifically verses 21 and 22, Peter and the guys, you know, you have these guys that are really close to Jesus. Peter seems to have this moment where he looks at John and he's worried that John might get a little bit of a bump in consideration in the eyes of Jesus versus him. And so when Peter frets over this and his place in Jesus's ministry, and he says this, he looks at Jesus and he says, "What about that guy?" And he points at John, probably not Peter's best moment, right? And Jesus's answer is this, and it's got a little bit of a barb to it. He says this, "What is that to you?" You think that burned a little bit? What about that guy? What's that to you? And he says this, "You follow me. You follow me." Here's another way of understanding it. We'll let John take care of John, but it's time for Peter to take care of Peter. And you follow me. So one, we've got to stop avoiding comparison with other people. Here's a second. One way of rooting out envy from our heart is that we really start to count the cost. We really start to count the cost of things. Here's why I say this. Behind every successful person is a host of sacrifices that we've never seen. Did you catch that? Behind every successful person is a host of sacrifices that we have never seen, never saw it. Here's what we like. The truth, we're seldom envious of all the work that a person does. You know what I envy? I envy your long days. That is just not what we say, right? We say something else. We're envious of the outcome. That's what we're envious of. Whether it's building a tower or building a career, the Bible gives us this caution. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money in Luke chapter 14, verse 28? Or you could do this. Count the cost on whether or not you have the time. Count the cost on whether or not you have the energy. You could fill in a lot of blanks there. Count the cost. Because some people have tremendous success in their career, and their families have fallen apart. Did we have the presence of mind to count what it cost them? We need to. I was listening to a podcast earlier this week. Patrick Lencioni does a ton on leadership. He has kind of a newer book out, and he was saying something interesting in the podcast. He said, you know, this is the time of year where we're celebrating our graduates from high school and from college. And by the way, congratulations to all of you. We're proud of you. He says, we're celebrating this. He says, but you know what? Can I just encourage you? When you get up to give a speech to these people, don't tell them to go be a leader. And I thought that was interesting. I thought, well, dude, you talk about leadership all the time. What do you want them to be? He says, instead, because we are asking the wrong questions. He says, do you want to be a CEO? That's one question. Do you want to do what a CEO does? That's a different question. People like the benefits, the perks of what a CEO is. Most people don't like doing the CEO part. We got to ask the right question. And I thought, okay, that actually makes some sense. You want the perks of leadership? Or do you want to be a leader? Because here's what Patrick Lencioni went on to say. He says, when it comes to leaders, it will always cost you more than you get out of it. It will cost you more than you get out of it. He says, so before you get out there to your graduates and be like, go take over the world and become leaders, he goes, be honest with them about it. Count the cost. There's something that comes with it. Another thing I want you to think about this morning is this. And especially if there's somebody that you've been envious of, maybe their success, maybe their family, I don't know. But could you thank God for the success of the person that you envy? I mean, we're assuming that it's moral, right? Nobody's gonna sit there and say, I want to thank you for Hitler, and could you multiply his work 10,000-fold? I mean, not that, right? I'm talking about something else. Thank God for the success of the person that you envy, because if they're tapped in to what God had portioned for them and they're successful, you should celebrate that, not compete with it. Jesus commanded us to pray for our enemies as one way of doing good to them in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. And this is what envy can do. It can make you see a friend as an enemy because they're in the way, at least the way you see it, of your happiness. Maybe you could pray for them. And then the last thing is, instead of having a heart of envy, remember, what comes out of us is who we are. How about a heart of love instead? How about a heart of love instead? I mean, having Jesus and a dissatisfied heart shows how much more we need Jesus in our heart. Did you catch that? Having Jesus and a dissatisfied heart shows how much more we need Jesus in our heart. Three things to think about from Scripture. In John 13:35, he says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples if you have what? Say it. Love. If you have love for one another. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, what does it say? For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should what? love one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, it just cuts right to the quick of it because it says this, love does not envy. If you have envy, you do not have love. So it says replace envy with what?
Love.
Love. Because the more that we feed envy, the more it rots us from the inside out. And God just wants something better for you. God wants something better for you. All right, so question, my friends. You're in the car. You're driving. What's driving you? I can't answer that for you. But here's what I do know. What I do know is that this morning is that Jesus wants you to experience him. Jesus wants you to be satisfied in him. Jesus wants you to know how he created you, what he created you for, and to pursue that. And then you'll find that you have that sense of peace and tranquility in your heart, and you stop chasing after the wind. That's what he wants. Otherwise, you saw Proverbs 14:30, right? What comes out of you is the real manifestation of you. So what is it? I can't answer it. I really can't. But you have to. For others, you're sitting here this morning, and I want you to see this, is that just as we talked about one thing today, we've talked about the problem of envy. Scripture all the way throughout talks about other things that hold on to us, they entangle us, they ensnare us, and they keep us from Jesus. We all have those things. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and go, envy's not my thing. Good. That's possibly true. Your thing might just be something else. And this is the story of the grace and forgiveness of Jesus. Notice what he says, is that he wants to come in and to change our heart, not just our behavior. He wants to change our heart that produces the behavior and offer us something through his grace and his forgiveness. It is a restoration by just calling out to him and admitting who you are to him. And notice what he says, and my grace is sufficient to cover a multitude of sins. That's what he wants. You call out. You call out. And so this morning, here's how we're going to end today. This is how. I just want us to have a time of prayer. Just give a little bit of time of silence. I want you to talk to Jesus. This is a time where you can be honest with him. He wants that so that what's really going on in you can be addressed. And by the work of his Holy Spirit, we can be changed.
We hope you have enjoyed the podcast. For more information about our church, visit www.woodridge.org.